Greetings, America. Welcome, Truth Seekers. Happy, happy Black Friday. I can't believe that everybody even knows what Black Friday is at this point. You know, they used to talk about Black Friday. It was like a financial term. It was for retailers. Now it's, we're celebrating Black Friday. Well, since you guys all know what that is, since everybody talked about it all day long, I won't, because I don't give a damn. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen blogger, investigative journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all the rest. In for Mike Malloy tonight, all evening long. Delighted to be with you live, broadcasting from beautiful downtown Burbank here on the left coast of these United States. Hope you're doing well. Hope you have woken up from your tryptophan coma. Mike Malloy will be back with you next Monday, but until then, you got me. Get used to it. Sorry. That's the way it goes. I'm delighted to be here with you tonight, and hope you will participate in the broadcast if you wish. If you do, take down this phone number. You may need it throughout the night. When I either tick you off or make you so happy you want to call in to 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. Don't bother the Malloys with the usual number. Use that one instead. Of course, they wouldn't hear you because I think they're out having fun or something like that. We are having fun, too. Oh, and you can also join us on the Twitters by sending a note to the Brad Blog. That's me. I am the guy from bradblog.com, in case you're wondering, in case you don't know. And if you don't, well then, shame on you. Also, you can stop by bradblog.com, where there is a lively chat room going on, being hosted not only by the lovely Desi Doyen, but yes, the lovely and delightful Jeannie Dean is there. Everyone's favorite, America's favorite chat hostess. Who has not been able to be with us lately. She is with us today. So come on by and harangue her. I mean, say hello to her in the chat room. Go to bradblog.com, the top item there. You'll see the links that says, you know, click here for the chat room. Go on in there. If you're too dumb to figure out how to do that, we don't want to hear from you anyway. But, all right, big show coming up tonight. David Swanson is going to be joining us in a bit to talk about his provocative new book, War is a Lie. A lot of stuff about war in the air lately. A lot of stuff from the Koreas to Iran. I'm hearing the drum beats of war again, and it's kind of bothering me. So we're going to talk to David Swanson about that. He says war is a lie. He says all wars are built on lies. Really? All right. Well, we'll try to hold his feet to the fire there in just a few minutes. And if you have questions for him, you can get more information on the book, by the way, at warisalie.org. Couple of quick news items because, it's one of them slow Thanksgiving weekend things. So there's a lot of ridiculous news. One, Obama has a fat lip. 12, what do you get, 12 stitches? 12 stitches for the president. This is not going to look good. This is not. He was playing basketball, and someone elbowed him. We still don't know who. I don't think we yet know the identity of the person who elbowed the president of the United States in the lip, requiring 12 stitches. What is it with our presidents, man? Remember George Bush? He fell off his couch because he's a jackass. Remember, he choked on a pretzel. This was the story. He choked on a pretzel and fell off the couch. Remember that, Tone? All right. How that happens, I'm not entirely sure. But so he got beat up there. He got like a black eye. Then he fell off his bike. He got his face beat up. Remember that? Got his face. You don't remember? All right. You don't pay attention to this stuff, do you? You don't care about politics. You hate Tony, how was your Thanksgiving? Because you're never on the air, so let me just take this time. How was your Thanksgiving? Did you have a nice Thanksgiving?
It was nice. It was family eating.
You were worried there wasn't going to be enough turkey.
There was enough. My mom made extra.
Your mom saved the day?
Because, yeah.
Because some uncle was coming, was not going to, yeah, okay. Well,
basically, no. Yeah, yeah, you had to cook a second one, yeah.
Uh-huh. A secondary turkey. All right, good. So you had plenty to eat.
Oh, yeah.
You rested up. You didn't rest up, did you? Because you were in here in this very studio this morning.
With Hal, yes.
With Hal Sparks running the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes.
All right, sorry about that. Well, we'll keep you wide awake.
I'll be,
I promise.
I'm up. I'm good to go. I'm good.
And you got some of your kick-ass music.
Oh yeah, of course.
To keep us awake. Mm-hmm. All right. Well done. Well, good to see you. You look good. I feel better. I've had a cold all week. I finally got some rest yesterday. Had no Thanksgiving at all. Just stayed home and slept, and I rather enjoyed it. Okay, so Obama has a fat lip. 12 stitches. That's one news item. Here's another. Well, let me grab this here. Wait a minute. I can't find it. It's gonna. There it is. Here we go. The geniuses over at Fox News. I love this, man. Geniuses over at Fox News. This secondary website. I don't even know what the hell this is. Fox Nation. It's like, frankly, I don't understand it. They've had this up, FoxNation.com. It's where it's because I don't know. Fox News, you know, is straight news. But over Fox Nation, they can say anything they want, I guess. I don't know. Well, one of the news headlines, shocking, shocking today. Here's the headline. Frustrated Obama sends nation rambling 75,000-word email. Can you believe that? 75,000 words. Turns out, completely made up. It was an Onion story. But the dopes over at Fox Nation bought it. They bought into it. And this was one of the commenters, very funny, actually said, let's see, this is one of the comments. Betty Bonnie said that, quote, a friend of mine got the email because she was an Obama supporter. She forwarded it to me. It was pitiful. My friend thinks he is losing it, Obama. Obama's losing it because he's, you know, he's sending off these 75,000-word emails. My friend thinks he is losing it. I told her I knew this a long time ago. That's what Betty Bonney said. Turns out Betty Bonney was lying because there was no such email. It was a story from The Onion. How dumb are you people at Fox News? Well, that's a question that could be answered by a lot of you callers over the next 3 hours, but we're not going to do that. Instead, we're also going to bring you this shocking news, although this part, I believe, is true. stunning, though. Stunning. Comes from TMZ late today. Music legend Willie Nelson was arrested this morning for allegedly possessing 6 ounces of marijuana. Now, I don't know about you, but this has shattered everything I had felt about Willie Nelson up till now. I can't believe that Willie Nelson is a marijuana user. Shocking. He was busted at 9 a.m. at a Border Patrol checkpoint in Sierra Blanca, Texas. He was in his tour bus traveling from California to Austin when he was detained. He was booked into the Hudspeth County Jail on $2,500 bond and posted, which was posted shortly thereafter. He was allegedly possessing 6 ounces of marijuana. It's actually kind of a lot of marijuana, isn't it? Not if you're Willie Nelson, maybe, but so he's, I just can't believe to hear that Willie Nelson smokes pot. Also out here in California, we had a big bust today that they're all proud of where they found a tunnel going from Mexico, from somebody's house in Tijuana. I think the tunnel actually went from their kitchen in Tijuana, right? It was his kitchen. Kitchen in Tijuana, half a mile across the border into San Diego, up into a warehouse where they were sending tons and tons of marijuana. The officials were very proud to say that they caught them today. Tons of marijuana were coming in. A 7-month investigation uncovered this tunnel, and man, oh man, is that a good use of our taxpayer dollars. Thank God we got those evil pot smokers busted down there in San Diego. I'm glad that we sell it legally here, by the way, in California. Medical marijuana, but, you know, anybody can really get it. That's the fact. But glad we're wasting taxpayer dollars on that. And at the same time, we've got, you know, billions, California budget is $1 billion, what is it, $40 billion deficit, something like this. I don't know. Gosh, I wonder where we could save money. Perhaps not busting marijuana. Who cares? What else do we got that I want to get to? Okay, before we take a break here, something more serious and perhaps even more pathetic. But 9 years and 50 days as of today. 9 years and 50 days the U.S. has been in Afghanistan. It is now as long as the Soviet slog. It is our longest war in these United States. We've now been there longer than the Soviet Union was there. Soviet, this is from AP, Soviet Union couldn't win in Afghanistan, and now the United States is about to have something in common with that futile campaign. 9 years, 50 days. On Friday, the U.S.-led coalition will have been fighting there for as long as the Soviets did in their humbling attempts to build up a socialist state. The two invasions had different goals. Well, okay. And dramatically different body counts, that's true. But whether they have significantly different outcomes remains to be seen. Indeed, that is true. What started out as a quick war on October 7, 2001 by the U.S. and its allies to wipe out al-Qaeda leader Osama bin Laden. How's that going for you? And the Taliban leader, how's that going for you, has instead turned into a long and slogging campaign with about 100,000 NATO troops fighting a burgeoning insurgency while trying to support and cultivate a nascent democracy. A Pentagon-led assessment released earlier this week described the progress made since the U.S. injected 30,000 more troops into Afghanistan earlier this year as fragile. That's putting it nicely. All right. Well, we're going to talk probably to David Swanson. I bet has a thought or two about this mess and how we got into Afghanistan. He will be joining us next to discuss the lies that got us there and into a whole bunch of other wars. You're listening to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman sitting in for Mike all night long. Glad you can join us. Stay with us. A big, big shoe straight ahead. Oh, is that a little Willie Nelson? Smartly done. I'm wasted. Stay with us. Don't let a memory talk to me. Whiskey River, don't run dry. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike. And we're going to try to leave a lot of time open in the show today for your calls if you want to get through to us later. Or even if you have a question for my next guest, you can dial 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. And an update from the last segment. We do now know who it was who gave the fat lip to Barack Obama. Let's see. Administration officials late Friday released a statement from Ray Desarega, not sure how to pronounce it, the director of programs for the Congressional Hispanic Caucus Institute, who injured Obama in the last of five-on-five games. I knew it was going to be the Hispanics. All right. David Swanson is a longtime peace, democracy, and social justice activist. Did you hear that, Glenn Best? Glenn Beck? He's a social justice activist, and he's the author of the provocative new bestseller, War is a Lie, and which was released just earlier this week. And he's also the author of another book released, I think, earlier this year, wasn't it? Or was that last year, David, your last book, Daybreak?
Last year,
okay. It seems so recent. His previous book was Daybreak, Undoing the Imperial Presidency and Forming a More Perfect Union. But now, the new book, War is a Lie, which you can get info about at warisalie.org. David Swanson joins me, comes back to the Mike Malloy Show. Hey, David, welcome, sir. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks for not telling him I used to work for Acorn, too.
You had to say that, didn't you? So it's now it's the Hispanics. You didn't bust the president's lip, did you?
No.
You did used to work for Acorn, and as a matter of fact, on the way in here, I started getting twittered by these jackasses who were saying the same old nonsense. I mean, they still don't get it. Speaking of lies, Acorn, you know, the fact that these wingnuts out there still believe that Acorn committed voter fraud, that they've stolen elections, isn't that, David, just the symptom of all the problems that we're looking at, including the one you've been writing about lately, War is a Lie, that we've got a media who allows these kind of lies to propagate across the country, and nobody, it seems, in the media corrects them?
Well, lies go back for millennia, and some of the war lies that I look at in the book go back for millennia. Voter fraud, I think, is a fairly new lie, but as far as lying goes and miscommunication goes and fear-mongering and misdirection and bigotry go, you know, these have been around a while.
Well, they have, but I think there's a difference, and I think the way it's propagated now across the country, across talk radio specifically, which is completely, as George Bush would say, misunderestimated as far as the power that it has to reach the people and to tell these lies. And you would think in the age of the internet, we wouldn't fall for it quite so easily. But your book, and we'll get back to the old lies and the old wars, but your book certainly talks about just how does it make the claim that it's easier to lie now than ever?
I don't know, but it is the case that the lies we tell each other about wars are sort of permanent now, mm-hmm. where just a century ago they would come when it was time for a war and then not be heard from again for a few years at least until it was time for another war. Now it's just a permanent, not just war economy and war structure of government, but war propaganda is just unending. And the media cartel that controls so much of our communications worsens that, to be sure.
It does, and we're going to talk about that and a whole bunch more. We've got a big, long segment coming up with David Swanson after this short break, and then we'll be back with David to talk about all of the lies and all of the wars, and I'll give him the tough questions. Brad, in for Mike. Stay with us. Yeah, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of bradblog.com in for Mike. And that was kind of hot music there, Tom. Thank you, sir. Speaking with David Swanson, author of the provocative new book, War is a Lie. Get more information at warisalie.org. Okay, let me, as I said earlier in the program here, a lot of talk of a lot of saber rattling going on in the Koreas over Iran, and yet and we're seeing today, as of today, we've been in Afghanistan longer than even the Soviet Union in what is our longest war ever for this country, and it has really become something. You know what? We don't even think about it. Most of us don't even think about it. All the news today is what? Black Friday. Get out there and shop. Well, David Swanson has been thinking about it, and his new book is about exactly that and makes some pretty provocative charges. David, welcome back to the show, sir. If I could read just the opening paragraph, if you don't mind, of your book, the introduction.
Help yourself.
Because I think that'll set things up nicely. All right. David writes, "Not a single thing that we commonly believe about wars that helps keep them around is true. Wars cannot be good or glorious, nor can they be justified as a means of achieving peace or anything else of value. The reasons given for wars before, during, and after them, often three very different sets of reasons for the same war, are all false. It's common to imagine that because we never go to war without a good reason, having gone to war, we simply must have a good reason. This needs to be reversed, because there can be no good reason for war. Having gone to war, we are participating in a lie. David, that's some pretty provocative stuff there, my friend. Are you saying that even a war that I think by now most people agree on, World War II, for example, was not good or glorious, and that we should not have gone into World War II?
Well, of course I am. And, of course, it's hard to say that in a blog or even on a radio show, but when you say it with 350 pages of evidence, that you are at the very least making a case. And so, you know, the lies that were sort of told after the fact about World War II have to do with the extreme evil of the Nazis and the attack on the Jews in particular, which of course had nothing whatsoever to do with the war during it or before it, when our government and our president in particular were very careful that it have nothing to do with the Jews, would not admit a single additional immigrant, killed bills that would have let Jewish refugee children into our country, enforced a blockade that prevented the expulsion of the Jews, which led to the extermination of the Jews. I mean, it had absolutely nothing to do with it. The lies that we were told before World War II focused on the idea that it was somehow defensive to go into war in Europe because we'd been attacked by Japan,
right,
and that we were attacked by Japan out of this clear blue sky and the best intentions in the world, despite having known perfectly well the attack was coming, having sought very diligently to provoke it, having destroyed Japan with economic sanctions, having provoked Japan with the construction of bases and airstrips around the Pacific, having participated on behalf of China in war on Japan, and having laid out plans for years and in those months and weeks for aggressive war on Japan, having wanted nothing more, and Winston Churchill as well, having wanted nothing more than for Japan to attack the United States, which would supposedly permit the United States to jump into the war, a war that was instigated following many lies told about Germany as well, FDR renewing the sorts of lies that Woodrow Wilson had told to get us into World War I, lies about unprovoked German submarine attacks on ships, whereas Roosevelt knew perfectly well the ships were working with British planes to attack the subs. Roosevelt had a forged map, a British forgery of a map of the Americas showing the Nazis' plans to slice up this hemisphere for Nazi domination. Pure fiction of the sort of quality of forgery that Bush used to claim that Iraq was buying uranium. I mean, if you're going to tell me that a war that you have to lie about to get us into it, you have to lie about everything along the way, and you have to come up with completely new lies after the fact, that secretly somehow this is a justifiable war, and Americans before, during, and after were just too stupid to know it and had to be lied into it, you know, this really shakes the very idea of government of the people. And I think any operation that kills 70 million human beings does absolutely no good for the world and creates a permanent war state that does endless disaster for a half century following, that's somehow defensible. You have to at least make a case for it. You can't just scream, ooh, Nazis.
Okay, well, ooh, Nazis. Well, there's a lot to unpack there, David Swanson. Let me try to go about it this way. How about in the case of Great Britain? Did they have a justification to go into war, or did they too have to lie? And if they had to lie, is lying ever justified in a case, for example, as we saw with Nazis and they're killing millions of people?
war lies are criminalized in international treaty and should be criminalized in our laws, and in some ways they are. I mean, Bush lying to Congress about Iraq war lies was a felony, and Nixon lying to the public about Vietnam war motivations was mm-hmm. nearly an impeachable offense, and I think that's generally the right approach. And with Great Britain and Germany, I mean, the closer you get to the war actually begins, the easier it becomes to scare people into thinking it was somehow justified. I mean, you back up months or years or decades, and you consider that, well, maybe we didn't have to end World War I by punishing an entire population rather than its rulers. Maybe we didn't have to impose those penalties, and then maybe we didn't have to support the Nazis and sell them weapons and finance them for decades. Maybe we should have invested in democracy in Germany instead of investing in eugenics research for them. You know, there are different approaches we could have taken.
So, but if we, David, if we did those things, at some point when we realize that they are not morally justified, don't we have the right to actually do something about it, whether we were complicit in it in the first place?
Absolutely.
Don't we have the moral imperative to do something about it when you discover, and I know, I guess your suggestion is that it wasn't until, you know, after the war, essentially, that we said, oh, we went into World War, II to save millions of Jews in concentration camps, that was not the original premise for going to war. But even still, once we know about these things, these atrocities, don't we have a moral imperative to do something about them? Or are you suggesting that because we went along with them all along, you know, much as we went along with Saddam Hussein and his chemical weapons, and, you know, yes, they got them from us, but nonetheless, and Saddam's not a good example, so let's go back to Hitler, which is a much easier case. Don't we then have an imperative to do something about it, no matter how we came to that point?
Well, the problem underlying your question is the idea that all-out war and the murder of 70 million human beings or nothing are the only two choices. So we have to do something, so we have to have World War II. Those are not obviously the only two choices. If you were to claim that they
what
were...
What was another choice? What was another choice in World War II, particularly after we're hit by Japan in Pearl Harbor? What other choices might we have taken, David?
We might have chosen to leave Europe to its own devices, as we ought to have done in World War I, as we certainly did with all imperial outbursts, including Napoleon's, preceding that drive for war here in our country. And we ought to have sought peace and negotiation and fought defensively if attacked, but not seek empire. We were not fighting a war against empire while building an empire. We were not fighting a war against discrimination or racism or concentration camps while using them. You can't make a case that that in reality we go to wars from a moral imperative to fight dictators, when half our wars are fought on behalf of dictators, half the dictators in the world are left alone unmolested as our allies. It makes no sense in terms of the record to say, well, you know, we didn't notice Saudi Arabia sitting there. We had to attack Iraq and Iran maybe next week because they have evil dictators.
Clearly, David, we pick and choose what wars we want to get into. We pick and choose which of the evil dictators we will decide are evil and which ones we will actually do business with. But the notion that there is nothing in this world that is so bad, particularly, again, what we certainly now know about was going on in Germany, and we do know that our allies in Great Britain were being mercilessly attacked.
Okay,
we're up against
up.
The wall.
What do you mean we know that? Churchill attacked civilians in Germany before Germany attacked civilians in England, albeit Churchill claimed it was retribution. It was some sort of time travel retribution. England was a country hell-bent bent on war. And you can say, well, Hitler was evil. You can't negotiate with evil people. He's going to go to war eventually, probably, so we have to start it first preemptively and all of that. But, you know, what exactly would have been lost had you waited a day or a week or a month or a year and sought other means to resolve this crisis?
Another couple of million dead people would have been lost? Perhaps the perhaps
which couple of million dead people? You're talking about launching a war that kills 70 million. You're telling me it would have been 72 if we'd waited a week?
So you're saying that we did not follow our diplomatic options, that we were too fast to go into World War II after all of that time that we didn't go in, that we probably should have gone in a year earlier?
Roosevelt was asked several years earlier to talk to Hitler,
right?
And Roosevelt's reply was, I'm going to focus on manufacturing weapons. Now, you can reply endlessly that you just can't talk to evil people, but you can't say that war was your only option. War was the option preordained and chosen and aggressively pursued by all parties in this war.
Yeah, but I'm still having trouble wrapping my brain around, David. I got to tell you that no matter how we got to this place, no matter how we screwed it up going in, no matter how much we aided it, it seems to me that there is a moral justification at some point. And that's what I'm going to ask you about after we take a break. We got to get to a quick break here. Speaking with David Swanson, author of the, as I promised, provocative new book, War is a Lie. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, you can at 877-520 1150. That's 877-520-1150. When we come back, I will ask David what actually would be a justification for war, as he seems to be suggesting that there never is any. We'll see if I got that right or not. And I should mention, David Swanson is a good friend of mine. And so it's an interesting conversation. 877-520-1150. Brad in for Mike Malloy. Speaking with David Swanson. Much more right after this. Say it again. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy, speaking with David Swanson, author of the new bestseller, War is a Lie. War is a Lie. You can get more information at warisalie.org, or you can go in there and displace George W. Bush off the bestseller list by going over to Amazon.com. And buying it, it's available, of course, at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, blah, 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 all the rest. And we were speaking, David, welcome back to the show, sir. We were speaking before the break, about World War II. And you were just about making the argument, I think, that it was not justified for us to get into World War II as if we should have let it play out. Am I understanding that correctly, sir?
Well, here's the thing, and I should say also that Brad Friedman is a good friend of mine, and you know, it drives me crazy, the idea that debating important issues should be seen as involving animosity just because everybody on cable television news calls each other devils. You know?
Well, exactly, but that's why I wanted to point this out, that you and I are not, you know, we don't hate each other, but we're debating what is, I think, a very interesting topic and a courageous one for you to make this, you know, because there's a lot of information out there about how Bush lied us into war, and I've got a piece that I'm going to cover in the next hour about that. And, you know, plenty of lies, but you're taking a right to them on World War II. So,
well, here's the thing. Yeah. Not just you, but almost every defender of war in any sense has to go back 70 years to a completely different world, a world that was not dominated by U.S. bases on every continent, a very different scene, to find a war that they you want to defend. If I have to give you that, if I have to say you can go back 70 years and there's a defensible war, but all of the other ones since are just as indefensible and obnoxious and immoral and criminal as they look, you know, how much do I really lose? Because what we move on to from there is ending every war that's underway or being pushed by propaganda at the moment.
You know what? Let me get to a call because there's the phone lines are lighting up here, and let's get someone else who disagrees with you. I think Kevin in San Francisco. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Thank you very much. I have a very simple question. Would the Jews in World War II have had a right to go to war with Hitler? I mean, all the things they had, advantages and whatever, they could have talked to him. As they're being marched off to concentration camps, would they have had a right to take up arms and fight him?
Fair enough. Let me get an answer. David, you say there is no justification for war, so the Jews are being sent in trains to concentration camp, going to their death. Would they have been right to stand up and fight a war at that point?
Well, traditionally in law, it is legal to resist, including violently. It is legal to resist a violent attack, whether a group within a nation or one nation against another. I think morally, you have to make the case that the best thing to do is the thing that would have been most effective. And I think that common wisdom, very much to the contrary, Gandhi was right. And I think that the example that was set by the German women who had Jewish husbands locked up and who got them out by protesting nonviolently in Berlin was a good example. And that when Gandhi said, you know, it would require thousands of people to give their lives, but nonviolent resistance is the way to go, you can say, oh, how horrible, how horrible. But again, we're talking about the most destructive act in human history, killing 70 million people in an outrageously destructive war. It's hard to imagine a worse alternative.
Let me give Kevin a chance to respond there, because we're coming up to the top.
Yes, Gandhi, wonderful, all that. It's nonsense. It's nonsense. Everything you're saying is nonsense because it's extreme. It is so far to one side. As you just said, the Jews should have walked to the concentration camp and peacefully agreed to walk into the ovens. What you said is so nonsense and
okay,
crazy
hang on.
Their lives should have saved them. Are you insane?
Hang on, Kevin. Thanks, Kevin. I'm sorry. I don't mean to cut you off, but I'm coming to the top of the hour. And, Dave, can you hang over with us over the top of the hour?
Sure, except for that bit about what I just said that I didn't just say.
Well, I know, and that's why I wanted to let you respond. I've only got 30 seconds. Can you do it in that, or do you want to wait until after the top of the hour?
Well, people can play it back and see that I didn't say anything like what Kevin said.
All right, we'll take a few more calls for you after the top of the hour. I'm going to stay with David Swanson here, 877-520, author of War is a Lie. Provocative book, as you can tell, not just World War II, but all the lies. David Swanson staying with us. Brad in for Malloy. Stay with us. Seekers to the Mike Malloy program. Brad Friedman, your friendly citizen investigative blogger, troublemaker, muckraker from bradblog.com, back with you here. Mike Malloy will return Monday night, Cyber Monday, but you got me for Black Friday, and you also got my guest, David Swanson, who we asked to hang out over the top of the hour here, the author of the provocative, as I keep saying, new book, War is a Lie. And which, you know, makes some, well, let's just say pretty provocative statements and claims. And we were talking about World War II and whether that was justified or not. And by the way, we're taking your calls at 877-520-1150. That's 877-520-1150. A lot of folks are on about this in the chat room at bradblog.com, where we have a live chat room discussing the show. You can come on in and give us your thoughts there. Randall from Tempe says, David, you have certainly kicked the beehive this time. I should point out, by the way, David Swanson was the publisher of the AfterDowningStreet.org website. He was named Most Valuable Progressive by The Nation magazine's John Nichols in 05, 06, 07. Probably had more to do with the country knowing about Bush having lied us into war vis-a-vis the after Downing Street, the Downing Street memos, which alleged that Bush was fixing the facts around the policy of going to war. And we have more evidence of that, and we'll be talking about that also in a bit. More evidence that he did the same thing. More evidence from Germany now. A Downing Street type memo has just come out this week, I think, in the last couple of days. So we're going to talk about that in a bit as well. But David, before we went to the break, you had a caller who said it was absolutely indefensible, the notion that what he said you were saying was that nothing should have been done when Jews were being shipped off to concentration camps. That's not actually what you were saying, was it?
Well, that's not what he said either. What he said was that the Jews themselves should have done nothing. They should have proceeded willingly to their deaths, which presumably is roughly how he thinks that for the most part they did proceed. And his apparent belief is that they should have picked up guns and shot the Nazis rather than get on the trains. And I think that what they ought to have done is refuse to cooperate, refuse to get on the trains, refused to go off out of sight to be murdered or put to work with the rest of the German population able to pretend to be oblivious to what was happening. It was happening out of sight. If they refused, yes, they would have been attacked, they would have been beaten, they would have been shot, but in their neighborhoods, in front of their neighbors, who to whom they should have appealed to join their resistance. And I think if a handful of them had found guns and started shooting, it would have hurt their cause. But I think all of that, whether the Jews should have willingly died or resisted nonviolently or found weapons, is quite irrelevant to whether the United States or some other nation should have gone to war. War, which is a much more serious crime than anything that Hitler could have done to anyone, given decades. And so it's sort of like the case that people, you know, like Michelle Bachmann are making now for bombing Iran, while the Iranian president denies rights to these people and rapes and tortures and so forth. And whether that's true or not, and how the Iranian people should respond or not, and how we should aid them or not, is all irrelevant to the idea that Iran is about to destroy the United States and we must fight them defensively. I mean, that's a whole different crazy argument.
Well, yeah, and it's a lie, and it's a crazy argument. But it was not a crazy argument that, in fact, there was a genocide ongoing in Germany and Poland and so forth. And you're right.
It was one that we were not making. And again, it is a very different topic from Germany is about to take over the United States of America.
What is a justifiable reason for the U.S. or for anybody? And I presume in War is a Lie, your new book, are you suggesting that all wars are unjustifiable, or all wars need to be lied about, or only in regard to the U.S.?
Well, all wars have always been lied about.
Right.
Traditionally, the exception to banning war is defensive wars. That is to say, actually fighting back on your territory against an actual attack by someone else.
So we were okay. It was all right to respond to the Japanese, for example, when we were hit at Pearl Harbor, as far as you see it. Setting aside, no matter what the reason was that we were hit.
Complete mischaracterization as to who's responding to whom. Look, when the United States Senate 85-1 ratified the Kellogg-Briand Pact in 1928 and said war is banned, war is illegal, which it remains to this day, Ambassador Kellogg, who got a Nobel Peace Prize, advocated to the French ambassador, with whom this was negotiated, and many countries signed on, that we could not have any loopholes. We could not have a loophole for defensive wars or humanitarian wars or anything of the sort, because those loopholes would be stretched to the point that the ban on war would become meaningless. That in fact, if a nation were attacked, it would resist, violently or otherwise. It would resist. You didn't have to put that into legislation because it would create a loophole, which the United States Senate did when it ratified the treaty. And then when we came along with the UN Charter in 1945, we put in two exceptions that did extreme damage. One, that you can have defensive wars, but worse, that you can have UN-authorized wars, and those wars are okay. And then you get to instances like Iraq, where you have a country claiming you've got UN approval, despite the UN saying, no, you don't. And so to get back to the idea of the Kellogg-Briand Treaty, which is essentially that there's nothing worse than war. There's nothing war can prevent or put an end to that's worse than it. We must ban all wars, I think is the direction we're going to have to head if we're going to survive these things in terms of blowback, in terms of nuclear proliferation, in terms of environmental destruction, mm-hmm. in terms of our civil rights and representative government, in terms of our economy. You know, any which way you slice it, the current approach is going to destroy us.
Well, and it certainly, you know, helped destroy the USSR, our ridiculously long war for reasons still unknown in Afghanistan, which now our longest war in history for the U.S., longer than the USSR. You know, there's no question about that. It will destroy us, certainly economically. But, you know, here's the problem I'm having, and then I'll bring on a caller, actually, who seems to agree with you, David. But, you know, in making this broad case that all wars are lies and therefore unjustifiable, you know, I might even go with you about the wars being a lie. But sometimes, well, you know, I don't know. The notion that maybe a lie is needed, perhaps, to stop a genocide of millions of people, maybe there is a time that lying is okay, if that's what it takes. But I realize that's a tough argument. Let me bring someone on here who I believe agrees with you, Ron in Prescott, Arizona. Welcome, Ron, to the Mike Malloy Show, sir.
Good evening, Brad.
Good evening.
And David. I've heard everything David has said, and I agree with him 100%. And let me give you an example. During the 19th century, America did not get involved in European wars because we were young, growing, and we were still fighting England, the War of 1812. And then we were expanding westward, taking over the lands that the Spanish had. So we didn't have the resources to get involved in Europe. But if we had been a superpower, the strongest nation in the world during the 19th century, we would have been involved in the European wars just like we were in the 20th century and now the 21st century with the Bush wars in Iraq and Afghanistan. So the reason nations go to war is because they think they're powerful enough to win the war, to get what they want, whether it's territory, whether it's oil, resources, it doesn't matter.
But
and that's
Ron,
the history of man.
Well, that is the history of man, Ron, but is there no time, as you see it, that going to war is justifiable, let's say, to kill, to stop the killing of millions of people in a genocide?
Well, you need to read the book Scarlet Pimpernel, or watch the movie, and England had a problem during the French Revolution. Do they intercede on behalf of thousands of people who were being executed, mm-hmm. or do they stay out? And that's the question you have to ask yourself is, does one nation have the right to interfere in, let's say, genocide or slaughter of another country's population because what's going on is wrong?
Okay, and I gotta run. Thanks for the call, Ron. I appreciate it.
Let David answer.
I will indeed. Thank you, Ron. David, your thoughts?
Well, if you could give me an example of when a war has prevented a genocide, then you would have a case that we could discuss, never having heard of such a thing in the actual history of this particular planet.
Didn't World War II stop a genocide eventually?
World War II is the biggest act of murder in human history. 70 million people dead. You know, how is that? Look at the approach of our government.
But they put, David, they put an end to it. I mean, yes, it cost a lot of lives, but, you know, the idea was to wipe out, you know, one of the ideas, obviously, was to wipe out the Jewish race from the planet. That would have continued apace had not somebody...
How many times do I have to repeat the undisputed historical evidence that... That had nothing to do with the U.S. role in the war, that we went out of our way to refuse to help Jewish refugees and Jewish victims, that we left them
I know.
To die, that we
yes.
turned ships around.
I know.
It had nothing to do with it. Harry Truman, on the floor of the Senate, leading into this benevolent war to stop genocide, said, if the Russians are winning, let's help the Germans. If the Germans are winning, let's help the Russians. That way we'll kill off more of both countries. Now, this is a war to prevent genocide? Come on. I mean, if find me an actual war that actually prevented something worse than the war itself, and we'll talk about it.
Author David Swanson of War is a Lie. Please check it out, warisalie.org. Obviously, it's provocative. It's not just about World War II, obviously. It's about all of the wars that this nation has found itself in over decades, if not centuries. Please check it out. David, actually, you know what? David, stay with us for just a few more minutes. Let me get one more call here with you. You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike. Why can't I? All right, welcome back to the Malloy Show. Brad Friedman in for Mike, 23 minutes after the hour. Speaking with David Swanson, author of War is a Lie. You can get your own copy and decide for yourself at warisalie.org. David, in the chat room, in the bradblog.com chat room, very lively conversation going on. Let's see, chatter MCWBR says, David... Admitting one war was necessary is – oh, do I have – okay. He says, David, admitting one war was necessary is not the same as admitting all wars are and does not give any credence to Iraq or Afghanistan, for instance. Are you – I think the implication there, Dave, is in trying to make this broad argument that all wars – are lies, and next to that argument, then all wars are unjustifiable. Are you making too broad a case in order to once again underscore what a lie the wars in Iraq, for example, actually was? Is that does
obviously,
that question make sense?
I don't think so, and obviously to persuade me otherwise, one would have to provide an example of a morally defensible war. Again, I think it's and perhaps the person in the chat room would agree with me on this. It's something of a distraction in that war defenders almost universally, not all of them, some will go with mm-hmm. Afghanistan of all things, but most of them have to go back 70 years to find what they think of as a defensible war, and then they spend 90% of their time yeah. discussing wars, talking about that 70-year-old war that happened in a very different world.
And has that been in the since you published the book earlier this week? Has that been what most of the folks you've interviewed with have brought up immediately?
Surprisingly, no. I expected most interviews to be like this one and to be really dominated by World War II, and there's been a bit of that, but it's been quite a variety of directions that interviews have gone. It's a very long book with a lot of topics in it, so I've enjoyed myself. But,
good.
I've enjoyed this too. This is what I would have expected from most interviews.
Well, it's about time
with most ordinary people.
Some about time somebody brought it up to you. Then let's get. Let me. I have only got a minute or so left before I got to go. But let me see if I can get in a call real quick. Gene from San Francisco. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Gene. You have a very quick question for David Swanson.
David. The frame on war, I think, should be a frame that acknowledges that war is a self-perpetuating business. And in writing your book, did you follow the money? Say, for instance, that the reason that Germany got into such a terrible economic problem that allowed Hitler to take power was because the British bankers called in the loans prematurely.
Thanks.
And stuff like that.
Thanks, Gene. I got to run. Your thoughts, David?
Yes, very much so, with many examples from many wars, wars launched by our nation and other nations. And chapter 6 is sort of the chapter that takes up the, well, then why did we go to war question that you always get after you go through the reasons that didn't really motivate the wars. And the economy plays a big role, but is certainly not the only explanation for wars.
Chapter 6 being war makers do not have noble motives. David, smartly done. Sir, I hope that a lot of people give this a look and give your book a look. I was able to begin reading it today a bit, and it's provocative, it's interesting, it's hard to disagree with a lot of your very well constructed points. So I invite folks to give it a look. WarIsALie.org. You can get the book there. You can also get it at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, whatever, on Black Friday or Cyber Monday. David Swanson, thanks for staying up extra late for me tonight here.
I appreciate that high praise from you, Brad. Great program, and keep up the great work you're doing.
Thank you, brother, and same to you. All right, much more straight ahead. Speaking of wars being lies and all of that, a whopper of a lie comes out from Germany about Bush and the Iraq War. That and WikiLeaks. Much more straight ahead. Yeah, some light holiday fare tonight. What are you laughing about, Tone? It's light, it's holidays, you know, it's just, we're just talking. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. 877-520-1150 if you'd like to get in on the program tonight. Mike will be back with you. Mike and Kathy will be back with you on Monday. Until then, you got me. And yeah, certainly a lot of people talking about that conversation, that interview we had with David Swanson, which will be available in full at bradblog.com late night tonight if you missed any portion of it. And as I said, you can check out his book, War is a Lie, over at warisalie.org or at your fine online retailers like Amazon and Barnes & Noble and stuff like that. Okay, this, and of course this is not going to lighten it up at all. Sorry. But speaking of wars and lies, a classified document obtained by Der Spiegel shows notes from a meeting between a top German diplomat and Condoleezza Rice just weeks before the Iraq invasion. It indicates steps by the German government to prevent the war and undermines claims in George W. Bush's memoir that Gerhard Schroeder indicated he would support the president should the U.S. go to war. You know, Dave and I, Dave Swanson and I, had a lively conversation there, a lively disagreement even on a lot of the arguments that he was making about World War II. But as I said, he ran after DowningStreet.org for years, helped get out the information about what was learned in those documents from Great Britain, showing that the Bush administration had lied us into war, was fixing their facts, if you will, around the policy to go to war. Now, I know most people, probably most people listening to the Mike Malloy Show, know these things already, but we have more evidence of this today, now from Germany, that the same thing seems to have happened there. Now, why is it? Well, let me give you some information from this Der Spiegel story, and then I'll tell you why it matters, even if you think you already know about it, even if you already are sick to death about hearing about how Bush lied us into war. I'll tell you why this all matters. So let me give you just a little bit of this. Gerhard Schroeder and Joschka Fischer made every effort they could says Der Spiegel. The German chancellor and foreign minister spared no effort with their appeals, whether in public or private, in small groups, or with eyes of the entire world upon them. In the end, though, it was all for naught. Then United States President George W. Bush would not allow anyone to change his mind. He was dead set on launching a war against Iraqi dictator Saddam Hussein and thereby bringing, quote, freedom, unquote, as he put it, to the Middle East. How's that freedom working out for you? It was freedom that Bush described as, quote, God's gift to mankind. Over time, however, this would-be gift from God has grown to become the biggest foreign policy disaster in U.S. history since the Vietnam War. The war in Iraq and its subsequent occupation has cost more than 100,000 Iraqi civilians and over 4,000 American soldiers their lives. Washington's credibility has been severely damaged, and Iraq will remain a trouble spot for the foreseeable future. It is facts like these that have helped stoke the outrage since Bush recently published his memoirs, Decision Points, in which he claims that Schroeder, the very man who won re-election in 2002 in large part based on his opposition to the war, assured him in January 2002 that Germany would support the U.S. if it decided to go to war against Iraq. For his part, Schroeder was quick to deny Bush's comments, claiming instead that, quote, the former American president is not telling the truth. So we've got the head of Germany, the German chancellor at the time, now coming out and saying quite directly, Bush is now lying in his book, lying about what the conversations that he had with the German chancellor. He is just out and out lying. Der Spiegel has now obtained a previously secret copy of notes taken from a conversation in February 2003 marked, quote, classified information for internal use only. At that time, it was just a matter of weeks before U.S. soldiers invaded Iraq. Klaus Schariot, a Berlin-based state secretary in the German Foreign Ministry, had flown to Washington in hopes of still having a chance of changing the mind of Condoleezza Rice, Bush's national security advisor at the time, and other high-ranking members on the National Security Council. According to the notes, all in German, the meeting amounted to 90 minutes of verbal blows, which primarily stemmed from Rice's, quote, relatively vigorous and uncompromising defense of the U.S. position. The same notes indicate that Schariot didn't budge an inch toward Washington either. In retrospect, though, they document a high point in German diplomatic history because the objections and predictions put forward by Berlin on that Tuesday have turned out to be legitimate and correct. The crux of the German argument was that the political costs of war in Iraq would be, quote, higher than the political returns. Oh, do you think? While Rice predicted that Iraq would take advantage of the, quote, opportunities for reconstruction, unquote, like the ones Germany enjoyed after 1945, the delegation from Berlin countered that the rapid establishment of a democracy in Baghdad was, quote, not to be expected. The Germans also predicted that the real beneficiary of a war in Iraq would actually be Iran, and that a U.S.-led attack would further complicate efforts to reach a solution in the conflict between the Israelis and the Palestinians. Likewise, they prophesized that going to war would precipitate, quote, a terrorist backlash. Schariot stressed that it was important, quote, to win over the hearts and minds of the Muslim elite and youths. Oh, do you think? According to the notes, and that this was, quote, not to be achieved by going to war. He also added that doing so would greatly increase the danger of prompting an, quote, influx to Islamic fundamentalism and terrorism. Well, it looks like those predictions were certainly borne out in Iraq. That Germany, in fact, warned against what the United States was doing, much as Great Britain seemed to, at least in this meeting, according to those Downing Street memos. And now Bush how many years later, 7 years, 8 years later, is now basically lying, out and out lying about what Germany had told him. And he's able to do so with impunity in a book, in a number one best-selling book. And he is still not being called out for it. And so many of the policies that his administration put in place, built on lies, continue to this day. We continue to kill people in Iraq. We continue to kill people in Afghanistan. We're now killing people in wars that we don't even know where the hell these wars are. Somalia. Yemen. Sending drones into Pakistan. We have now a culture of war. We have the military-industrial society that Republican President Eisenhower warned us about so many years ago, and we pay no attention at all. The most Americans see about wars in Iraq and Afghanistan and how they affect us every day, well, the most that we ever hear about it is perhaps down at the bottom of the scroll, I think we noticed today on CNN. IED kills three in Afghanistan. Maybe if you happen to watch ABC's This Week, you'll see their in memoriam at the end. Oh, the Pentagon released the names of 20, 30 U.S. troops killed in Iraq and Afghanistan, and the killing continues. And I got to be honest with you, I ain't got no idea why. I have no idea. To this day, 10 years later, and I'm, you know, no jackass. You may disagree with me on anything you like, but I pay attention to what's going on out there. And I couldn't tell you today what the hell we're doing in Afghanistan. I do know that to get out of Afghanistan, we're going to have to cut a deal. We're going to have to cut a deal with who? The Taliban. The same people that we went in there ostensibly to kick out. Yeah, the Taliban's going to be there. And no one to date has been held accountable. So this will continue. And now you're hearing once again the drumbeat of war over Iran. David Broder, in a once respectable newspaper, The Washington Post, recently said the way to save the economy is to invade Iran. Speaking of jackasses. But this is what we've come to in this country. And if you watch TV today or yesterday or tomorrow or the day after, what you will see is numbers from Black Friday. How are we doing? The lines were around the corner at Best Buy today. Retailers are giving thumbs up. Well, great. We had a news story earlier this week that corporate profits in these United States this year are at an all-time record high. All-time record high. Corporate profits have been going up for the last, I think it's 7 quarters in a row. And you, my friends, my fellow Americans, are probably fighting to keep your job if you're lucky enough to have one. And yet we're all hoping retailers do well today. Yes, we are. I am. Somehow that's going to be good for the economy, right? Right, isn't it? I heard the economy was a disaster out there, and then I saw the numbers that it was the most profitable quarter ever in the history of this nation for the corporations. The same multinational corporations, U.S. corporations, who Barack Obama wants to give some more tax breaks to. That's what's holding us up. Not enough tax breaks for the corporations. And oh, by the way, get your ass out there tomorrow and buy something at Walmart, will ya? It's the patriotic thing to do. And oh yeah, we got wars. We got wars we got to run. We got two wars already that we know of. Then, of course, there's Pakistan, Somalia, Yemen. And that's not enough. Let's get things fired up in Korea, shall we? Iran is next. Enough. Who's going to say enough? I'm saying enough. It's time our media does as well. It's time that our goddamn media points out the lies instead of just echoing them. John Bolton said today, blah, blah, blah. Let's start telling the truth, shall we? Brad, in for Mike Malloy. Stay with us.
I was taught and brought up there, the laws to abide.
All right, you can reach this program at 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. Next hour, I will do my very best to open up the phones to anything you want to talk about. Didn't mean to bring you down on a what has quickly becoming a National Security Friday around here, but man, I'm hearing all the drum beats of war again. Everybody. You know, between Korea, between Iran. Yeah, Iran. Like, we're not, you know, already screwed enough. We're not already in enough wars. George Bush comes out and, you know, defends his crap, defends his torture, defends his lies. And who is out there calling him on it? Nobody. And because he has been allowed to get away with it for so long, well, so can Barack Obama. Why not? But let me tell you what. If you think it's bad now, imagine how much lower, how much the bar has been lowered. Imagine what happens when President Palin comes into office. That's why this stuff matters. Because any president can do this. Anything is legal, as Nixon said. Anything is legal if the president does it. No, it's not. There are laws. There's the rule of law. There's the Constitution. We have treaties. These things matter, damn it. This will cheer you up. Just in today, the Homeland Security Department's Customs Enforcement Division has gone on a website shutdown spree, reports Daniel Tenser at Raw Story Today, closing down at least 76 domains this week, according to online reports. While many of the web domains were sites that trafficked in counterfeit brand name goods and some others linked to copyright infringing file sharing materials, at least one site was a Google-like search engine, causing alarm among web freedom advocates who worry the move steps over the line into censorship. All the shut sites are now displaying a Homeland Security warning that copyright infringers can face up to 5 years in prison. But you see, folks, they did it without a court order. So whether they were, you know, really stopping copyright infringement or not, we don't know. Nobody knows. No court order was necessary. According to a report at Torrent Freak, the search engine that was shut down, torrentfinder.com, neither hosted copyright material nor directly linked to places where it could be found. Instead, the site opened new windows to sites that did. The site opened new windows to sites that did link to file sharing material. When a site has no tracker, carries no torrents, that's torrents of copyrighted information, lists no copyright work unless someone searches for them and responds, just like Google, accusing it of infringement becomes somewhat of a minefield. Oh, do you think? Unless you're ICE. Homeland Security investigation, that is, and you can take down sites at will. Now, this administration is taking down sites on the premise that there's copyright infringement going on without a court order. Does anyone out there think that this administration or any other, let's say that Palin administration I was talking about, the Liz Cheney administration, the Mitt Romney administration, Tim Pawlenty, Newt Gingrich administration, does anybody out there think that they would stop for a second to take down any damn site that they wanted to, based, of course, on the idea that it's just copyright infringement? They're just trying to stop copyrights. There is no more rule of law. There is no court order necessary. This is the imperial presidency. No one has stopped it. Almost no one is speaking up about it. David Swanson is. I am. Mike Malloy is, that's for sure. Are you? Is your media? Are your media? Your right-wing media who have taken over your airways? Are they bitching and moaning about this? Are they just fine with it, as long as it's not happening to them? First they came for... Yeah. You got the idea. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Opening up the phones next hour to you, 877-520-1150. Anything you want to talk about is fine by me. 877-520-1150. Oh, yeah, then there's the WikiLeaks. Much more straight ahead. I saw somebody say on Twitter today, they referred to the Republicans, the teabaggers' obsession with Sarah Palin and a run for president in 2012 by calling it Saracide. Ha! I kind of like that phrase. If I didn't know what I do know about our voting, our electronic voting system in this country, I wouldn't call it Saracide at all. I would call it pretty damn scary. Hey, welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Cheer up, folks. It's Friday. It's Black Friday. Lots of shopping. Retailers report big crowds. Everything's okay. You're out of a job. We're in seven wars and getting more. But other than that, everything's swell. I'm Brad Friedman of BradBlock.com. You're friendly citizen, investigative journalist, blogger, troublemaker, muckraker, broadcasting live for one more hour from the beautiful studios of K-Talk AM 1150 in beautiful downtown Burbank. Glad you can be with us here. This is your hour to use your airwaves. 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150, anything you want to talk about. I could even call this an hour of Ask Brad, as we do every now and again, whereby you get to ask me anything you want, and I will or won't answer it. 877-520-1150. You can also stop by our chat room, very lively tonight, no doubt, because the lovely Jeannie Dean is back moderating, and you can get to that at bradblog.com. And click through the first item there. The chat room is hidden below. If you click through, and you can jump on in, we would love to hear from you. 877-520-1150 on anything we've talked about tonight or anything we haven't talked about tonight, but that you would like to talk about. One of the, I think the common theme here tonight, we have a lot of national security stuff. And, well, for good reason, because these wars never end, because nobody calls out these liars and charlatans who carry it out. In this case, Barack Obama continues to expand our military presence all across the world. But so many Democrats and progressives and liberals who were against it before have, well, they're kind of quiet now. I wish they weren't. I wish George W. Bush's book wasn't the number one bestseller out there, because why? He's a liar, and somebody ought to call him on it. Somebody may be calling them on it very soon with this WikiLeaks coming up. Earlier in the week, we talked about the fact that WikiLeaks was reporting earlier this week that secret documents that they're about to dump will be seven times larger than the Iraq war logs were, and there was 400,000 documents released in the Iraq war logs. These will be seven times larger, and on Twitter earlier this week, WikiLeaks said that there's been intense pressure over it for months, and then they later said that the coming months will see a new world where global history is redefined. Global history is redefined. Defined, pretty big words from WikiLeaks there. So we have more information now on what this is all about, perhaps, what some of these leaks will be. Do I have... Oh, there we go. There we go. Here's our theme song, our WikiLeaks theme song tonight.
Take a tip, button up your lip, don't get yourself unstrung.
Harm may come
just from a slip of the tongue.
Don't talk about the weather.
It's a military secret.
Just keep your wits together.
That's the safest way to keep it.
These are critical times. Be careful of espionage.
In such critical times, you've got to watch out for sabotage.
If you must talk to someone,
don't give any information.
No, don't.
It's smart to be a dumb one.
Smart to be a dumb
Simply
one.
Change the conversation.
Let's just talk about love. Cause that's what I'm thinking of. And
it's no military secret that I love you.
No, it is no military secret that I love you. However, some military secrets are about to be dumped that could change the world, says WikiLeaks. The Obama administration on Wednesday warned that the next release of documents from whistleblower website WikiLeaks could damage relations between the U.S. and foreign governments. Now a report from Reuters offers an explanation as to why that may be. According to sources, quote, sources familiar with the State Department cables held by WikiLeaks, the imminent document dump will include reports from U.S. diplomats on corruption within foreign governments and among world leaders. These are, of course, highly secret, classified documents, cables, conversations back and forth between the U.S. State Department and other foreign governments. Reuters reports that governments in Europe and Asia feature prominently in the document release, with Russia and Afghanistan being mentioned by name. However, there were no specifics reported as to the nature of the corruption allegations or which governments are involved. Three sources familiar with the State Department cables held by WikiLeaks say the corruption allegations in them are major enough to cause serious embarrassment for foreign governments and politicians named in them. They said the release was expected next week, but could come earlier. The U.S. government has strongly objected to the past WikiLeaks revelations, which it said compromised national security and put some people at risk. Of course, after that last one, they said, oh, you know what, it was no big deal. It hasn't been that put that many people at risk. But, you know, before the release, they're all worried about it, and they're all warning people. The U.S. government, for its part, it seems to be aware of what is about to be leaked. As AP reported, the Obama administration said Wednesday it has alerted Congress and begun notifying foreign governments that the WikiLeaks website is preparing to release sensitive U.S. diplomatic files that could damage relations with friends and allies across the globe. State Department spokesman P.J. Crowley said, quote, these revelations are harmful to the U.S. and our interests. They are going to create tension in relationships between our diplomats and our friends around the world. You know, I spoke some time ago with Daniel Ellsberg, the legendary whistleblower of the Pentagon Papers. We were talking about the Sybil Edmonds case at the time. Won't go into details on that now. But, you know, basically he said to me, he said, you know, that most of the secrets that are kept in this government, most things that are classified are not there for national security, but they are there to protect the government from embarrassment. And he ought to know. Of course, he's the one who released the Pentagon Papers back in the 70s that showed, 10 years leading up to the Vietnam War, just all of the lies that were propagated by this country, by our administrations, and fought to have that information out there. And now WikiLeaks is putting what appears to be hundreds of thousands of communications between various governments. Washington Post reports that the cables, this is interesting, and I suspect if I'm back in December to cover for Mike, perhaps we'll get Sybil Edmonds to talk about this, because the cables, this from the Washington Post, the cables could also show that allies sometimes take private actions that directly contradict publicly declared policies. The London-based Daily Al-Hayat reported that WikiLeaks is planning to release files that show Turkey, our ally Turkey, has helped Al-Qaeda in Iraq, and that the U.S. has helped the PKK, a Kurdish rebel organization. The documents reportedly suggest that the U.S. has supported the PKK, which has been waging a separatist war against Turkey since 1984 and has been classified by the State Department as a terrorist organization since 1979. So we're calling them a terrorist organization, and yet, at least according to the early information we're getting here, yet uncorroborated, we're actually supporting the PKK in their war against Turkey. And Turkey is supporting Al-Qaeda, who we're supposed to be out there fighting against. All this sounding strange to you? It is to me, too. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. If you'd like to ring in on this or anything else we've talked about, is it a good idea to release this information? Or have you bought into the notion that things are classified because it's to keep us safe? And the reason you don't know about them is for your own good. Maybe that's the case. 877-520-1150. Oh, let me take a break and come back to a call. Hang in there, you folks on the line. And if you're not on the line, you can get in line to be on the line at 877-520-1150. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy tonight. Our final hour here. Happy Black Friday. Much more straight ahead. Please hide me around the rock. Please hide me, Lord, all on my bay. But the rock cried out, I can't hide you, the rock cried out. I can't hide you, the rock cried out. Welcome back to the Mike Malloy Show. Brad Friedman of BradBlog.com in for Mike. He will return next Cyber Monday. We'd love to hear from you tonight. If you want to get into the show, you can right now. These are your airwaves at 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. Use them or lose them even more than you already have. Let's go to Billy in Wimberley, Texas. Hey, Billy, welcome to the Mike Malloy Show.
Howdy, Brad. Listen, I heard you a few minutes ago call President Bush a liar.
Right.
How so?
You serious?
I'm dead serious.
You're not familiar with the fact that he lied about weapons of mass destruction?
That is so absolutely weak.
Really?
Absolutely weak. That is.
Why is that?
That Well, because he was acting on the same intelligence that other countries had.
No,
did
you not hear what I just read about the fact that Germany was trying to tell him to not do it, to don't go in? Did you not hear what I said?
There were a whole lot of other countries.
Which country? Which country?
Well, there were, right off the top of my head, Brad, but I think you need better... Mm-hmm. Better backup than this old tired argument about weapons of mass destruction.
Right.
Now,
well,
he was wrong about that.
He was wrong, but he didn't lie. He correct.
Well, you can be wrong about something and not be a liar.
Well, of course you can. But let me ask you. For example, he stood up before the State of the Union and talked about how Saddam was trying to get yellow cake uranium from Niger. Do you remember that?
I do.
Now, the CIA had already told him to not say that in several speeches earlier, and yet he went ahead and said it in this, and he had removed it from several speeches.
Are you pretty tight with CIA, Brad?
What does that have to – what? The CIA, the White House admitted they should have never said that in the State of the Union.
Well, I don't think they admitted that. You probably weren't in any of those meetings, and all I'm trying to say
I didn't have to be. They said it publicly.
Brad,
Billy?
When you use those old tired arguments,
uh-huh.
you're employing sophistry, which makes you just a very clever liar.
Oh, okay. Well, before I let you go here, he also, by the way, said that he would, if anybody outed a CIA, covert CIA agent in his administration, they would be fired. Do you remember when he said that?
I don't remember hearing him say that. No. But
yeah. Okay. Go check it out.
Right.
Go check it out because he did say that, and as it turned out, his administration did for the first time in the history of this country out a covert CIA operative, which his own father had said is one of the worst crimes, one of the worst cases of treason when you out a covert CIA operative, and yet nobody was fired.
Plain,
yes, sir.
Valerie Plame argument. Okay,
right.
Whose husband. Had her outed. She was already out.
Billy, sorry, pal. Speaking of sophistry, go out and get some information. Find out what actually happened. All right.
Be more careful when you start throwing around the word liar.
I'm very careful, sir. Thank you for your call, Billy.
Yeah,
I appreciate it. All right. George W. Bush is a liar. Of course, don't take my word for it. Take the German chancellor's word for it, who just called Bush a liar because Bush said that Germany had told them they would go to war along with us in Iraq if U.S. went to war. And German Chancellor Schroeder says that is not true. And they have provided documents to show, in fact, that George Bush was lying. Look, this has nothing to do with Bush's policies, all right? His policies were crap, yeah. But so are many of Barack Obama's, by the way. But a lie is a lie, and yes, George Bush lied. 877-520-1150, 877-520-1150. Let's go to Todd in Columbia, South Carolina. Whoa, yeah, okay, go ahead, Todd, welcome to the show. We'll see if I can get you in before I have to go to a break here.
Okay, how you doing?
I'm okay, how are you?
Great. Listen, you know what's interesting? If you study history, it really appears that more often than not, the left is always correct. You look at the Vietnam War. I mean, how come nobody's saying now? I remember vividly when I was living in Philly, okay, French fries. Don't eat French fries. How ridiculous was that?
Because freedom fries, is that what you mean?
Freedom fries.
Yeah.
I mean, your last caller just made my point. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is getting absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah, well, you know why it's ridiculous? Thanks for the call, Todd. I got to get to a break. I do appreciate it. You know why it's getting ridiculous? Is because the media out there doesn't correct these people, and they let these lies go, and then the Democrats come into power, and they don't hold anybody accountable. George W. Bush should have been put on trial, should have been impeached, and should be in jail. Brad, in for Malloy.
Well, I've been down so goddamn long that it looks like up to me. Well, I've been down so very damn long.
Some of these wing nuts have been lied to for so long that it looks like the truth to them. Just because you say it, don't make it true. Just because Fox News told you so, Rush Limbaugh told you so, Glenn Beck told you so, doesn't make it true. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy for one last half hour. Glad you can join us. Give us a call if you want to get in. Get in now, 877-520-1150, about any damn thing you want. Because these are your airwaves. 877-520-1150. Billy there was calling from Texas. I think it was Billy. Wasn't it Billy? So he doesn't believe George Bush is a liar. How dare I say it? Let me add, because I don't think I said it in as many words. Not only is George Bush a liar, he is also a war criminal. And I will lay you dollars to donuts right now. That man never leaves this country for the rest of his life. Because if he does, he will most likely be hauled in by other countries who actually respect treaties. And by the way, our Constitution requires us to regard treaties with other nations as if they are our own law. And we have a treaty in this, the UN Treaty Against Torture, Anti-Torture Convention, that requires us to arrest war criminals, investigate and arrest. If not, other countries are required to do so. And the mayor of London has already come out and said, well, you know what, if George Bush is thinking about coming over here for to promote his book, he might want to think twice about that. Because he may never leave, because he may be arrested, as well he should. I suspect Billy down there in Texas also thinks that Acorn committed voter fraud. On the way over here, I was, like I said I was, earlier, I was being twittered by some jackass over there on Twitter who is convinced, like so many, that Acorn is committing voter fraud. Guess what, folks? Acorn has never been committed of voter fraud. There is not one single vote that has ever been cast, at least there is no evidence, that one single vote has ever been illegally cast vis-a-vis an improperly registered voter who was improperly registered by Acorn. And in fact, almost every single Acorn worker who has been found to have committed voter registration fraud was because Acorn themselves turned them in. I'm sorry for you folks who have listened to me on this show or read bradblog.com for years who already know this, but apparently we have to repeat the truth at least a tenth as much as those liars out there repeat the lies. 877-520-1150. Let's go to Merle in Redford, Michigan. Welcome to the Mike Malloy Show, Merle. What's on your mind, sir?
Thanks for broadcasting from Malloy tonight.
My pleasure, sir. What's up?
You do a great job, man. You really do. I just wanted to make sure people knew. I went last night and saw Valerie Plame's new movie, Fair Game.
Yeah, how'd you like it?
Man, if Dick Cheney, I was raised to respect older people. The color of the skin doesn't matter, but if I was close to Dick Cheney, I probably would have taken him out last night behind that movie.
Yeah.
It shows how the media, everything is coordinated from whatever source. It gets coordinated, and if you say it often enough, it must be the truth.
Well, you know what? That's exactly right. And I'm, you know what? I bet this guy, Billy, Malloy probably wouldn't have even allowed him on because he has no patience for those guys. But I think we need to talk to those guys because they are so confused. They have been so unbelievably misinformed for so many years by our media. If we don't talk to them, if we don't explain to them, I'm sure he's a nice guy, but he is just wrong. He is just wrong.
I work for Chrysler and up here in Michigan, and I'm gonna tell you, a lot of people I work with that I find them because I podcast and I listen to stuff and I follow stuff and I know who I can trust on my side of the fence, and they actually use me as a point of reference and ask me if I heard about something or what if I heard.
Right.
And one guy is actually, he's beginning to really, he was a really, probably a three-quarters of the way right winger. And he's really beginning to be suspicious about a lot of things that go on because I've shared a lot with him and also I email stuff to him.
Well, because listen, you know the old saying, you're entitled to your own opinion, you're not entitled to your own facts. The problem is these guys are not given the facts, and not only are they not given the facts, they're given false facts. They're given the lies, and they buy it.
Yeah. That's right. Let me tell you this real quick.
I got to go.
I support Brad Blog.
Thank you, sir.
People need to do that, and also support Malloy and the progressive talkers out there.
God bless you, Merle. Really.
Without you guys, our side is nothing.
Thank you, brother. I really appreciate it, Merle. Thanks, man, and have a good Thanksgiving weekend. Support progressive, independent progressive media. Sounds like a good idea to me. Janice in Berkeley, welcome to the Malloy Show. What's on your mind, Janice?
Oh, well, thank you for taking my call, Brad. I just wanted to recommend a book, Family of Secrets by Russ Baker, B-A-K-E-R. He helps chronicle some of the facts for your listeners who may be kind of confused at all the separate little facts coming at them.
That's Bush Family Secrets, isn't it?
Family of Secrets.
Family of Secrets.
Yeah, by Russ Baker.
All right.
And there are so many, misinformation out there.
Mm-hmm.
This will help them chronicle some of the facts.
Thanks, Janice. I really do appreciate it. And yeah,
you're welcome.
Great to have you call in with that information. And people do need to, get the facts. Just get the facts. If you want to call me a liar, as Billy did, that's fine. But have the facts. You can't just say, it's tired. That's a tired old argument. Why, it's been years since people have been saying Bush is a liar. And so that makes it untrue. No, it doesn't. He lied. The facts are there. It's easy. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. 1150, Joy in Santa Cruz. Hey, Joy, welcome back to the show.
Hi, sweetie.
Hi, darling. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I want to say thank you to all of you and to Jeannie and Dez.
Jeannie Dean and Desi over in the bradblog.com chat room, keeping up with all the chatters tonight. Yes.
Yeah, and I'm there, too.
Good.
And so is everyone else I know. But I wanted to let you know what's happening in the TSA things is getting really out of control.
Yeah, how so?
Well, I'm going to have to put this delicately. The women TSA agents are using much more force than they need to, and they're actually examining people inside of themselves. This is way out of control.
What? Now, where do you get? I assume you're saying they're violating.
ACLU website has all kinds of reports of women who are being violated.
All right. Well,
with gloved hands.
All right.
And they're not gloved hands that are changed.
Well, that's a very obviously very serious allegation, and if the ACLU knows about it, I'm delighted to hear that because that is obviously an unbelievable violation of civil
it's
rights.
It's rape.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
well,
rape.
All right. Well, thanks for the tip there, and
it's not something I wanted to share.
No, I hear you. Well, you know,
we need to know.
Desi offers us the word here. I think the word you're looking for is cavity checks. Might be a delicate way to put
it.
Okay.
Yeah, but there's a lot of women who have been humiliated and are crying after they go through this.
Yeah, I know.
And it's really frightening them.
I hear you.
These are other women doing it to women.
I know. Well, you know what?
Really,
if it's happening, of course, I understand these are just allegations at this point. But, you know, the fact is, I argued this on Wednesday night, the system here is actually working, meaning people are talking about it. They're outraged about it. There's actually a debate about it and how far it needs to go and that it needs to be adjusted. And obviously something like this is completely inappropriate if it is actually happening. But we are able to have an actual discussion about it and find what needs to be done. And I'm arguing it's only because there's a Democratic president in the White House, because If it had been a
Republican, people like you.
Well, listen. If had there been a Republican in the White House right now, we would have half the nation, Fox News, everybody else, instead of being outraged about what's going on, they'd be telling us how important this is because it's a post 9/11 era. And did you forget what Osama bin Laden did? And we have got to search every cavity of yours because otherwise the terrorists are going to get us.
But here's the whole thing,
all
Brad.
Right. What?
The terrorists are winning.
No question. The terrorists won long ago. And for everyone that bends over and everyone that says it's okay to torture and that it's okay to tap your phones and your email and it's okay to go to war over lies because, oops, it was just a mistake. It wasn't really a lie.
In the hotel, in the airport.
All of that means, in fact, yes, the terrorists have won, and they won long ago. I got to go,
yes,
Joy.
They did.
I appreciate your call. Good to hear from you, and I hope you have a great Thanksgiving weekend.
Well, I hope you do, too, and I hope you don't have to fly.
I won't. Don't worry.
Love you.
Love you,
bye.
Too. Bye. 877-520-1150. 877-520-1150. You want to get in on this thing? We'd love to hear from you. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll... Oh, no, hang on. Well, now we got to go all the way around. See? If I've told you once, I've told you 1,000 times, don't hire amateur bloggers to do talk radio because they don't know what they're doing. I'm Brad Friedman, your friendly amateur blogger from bradblog.com. Delighted you can be with us tonight. Give us a call at 877-520-1150. Our final segment coming up. Good news, truth seekers. Mike and Kathy Malloy will be back with you next Monday. And, well, I will miss you, but you can find me over at bradblog.com, although I'm going to need a nap after this weekend and see if I can finally kick this cold before I'm back over Christmas. I don't know if I am. Are we coming back over Christmas? Maybe. If they'll have us. All right. If you want us back, we'll be back. We're certainly back for the next 15 minutes or so. Brad Friedman in for Mike Malloy. Stay right here.
But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
My thanks tonight, once again, as always, to our engineer, Tony Sorrentino. Thank you, sir. Been a good week. You get to rest now. Also, the folks here at LA's K-Talk AM 1150 for allowing me to crash their studio and infect it with my cold all week. My thanks also to producer and call screener Desi Doyen tonight, who was doing triple duty this week by minding the chat room as our favorite chat room hostess babe, Jeannie Dean, had been busy, but she is back tonight. So thank you, Jeannie Dean, over at bradblog.com. Of course, my thanks to Mike and Kathy Malloy for entrusting me with this microphone. It is greatly appreciated. And always a pleasure. For those listening via MikeMalloy.com, please stay tuned for Head On with our friend, Bob Kincaid. All right, 877-520-1150. Let's see how many folks we can get through here. 877-520-1150. Let's get to Gerhard in San Clemens Disco. Hey, Gerhard, welcome to the Malloy Show.
Well, hi there. It seems that the United Nations, after all, which is nothing but a bleeding-heart, guilt-driven, communist-created welfare handout for the mud hut countries of the world, they're pretty good, after all, spreading cholera from one third-world country to another third-world country. You
hey,
know?
Gerhard, you're a knucklehead. You know that? Man, you know, these people out there risking their lives, trying to help people, trying to make this world a better place.
And we get jackasses like Gerhard. All right, let's... only a few more minutes here. 877-520-1150. Hans in Los Angeles. Welcome to the Molloy Show, sir.
Yes, here I am. Yes, I'm Hans. I'm 83 years old.
Yeah.
And I grew up in Germany during the Hitler regime. And this gentleman just talked about, he has written a book about war.
David Swanson, War is a Lie, is his book.
Yes,
yeah.
Well, what I was going to say is Hitler declared war on the United States. They could not get out of it at the time. You know, and he said that was the greatest mistake he has made in his entire life.
That Hitler said declaring war on the U.S. was the greatest mistake in his life?
That's what he said.
Okay.
He declared war on no other country.
Mm-hmm.
He just moved and rolled into it.
Well, he and
early in the morning, you know, people were asleep.
And for those who actually don't know what we're talking about, Hansa actually is listening on KTalk AM 1150, and they run the show on a bit of a delay, I think. So,
yes, I understand.
Yeah, you're probably hearing the previous hour when we talked about this. For those who didn't hear this conversation with David Swanson, please check out the entire. We'll have it all up on the bradblog.com tonight. And, of course, if you have a Molloy podcast, and I recommend you support Progressive Radio by going to MikeMolloy.com. Come and subscribing to his podcast.
So I can't. I got. I'm one of those individuals who got no computer and nothing. You know.
Oh yeah.
I'm a computer-free person.
I hear you. Well, which is why and I'm actually not even talking to you. I'm talking to everybody else who's wondering what we're talking about. But and that's why the public airwaves are so important. And so that I'm delighted that you're able to listen to us on KTalk, Hans.
Yes. Sometimes I do, yes. I find it very interesting.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate your call.
Yes.
All right. I got to run. Thanks, Hans.
Okay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Let me get to, where am I here? Tom in Riverside. Oh, our friend Tom Corbett in Riverside. How are you, sir? Welcome to the
Bradley,
show.
Doing fine.
Good.
How are you, my friend?
Oh, I'm hanging in there. Got a cold, but it's almost gone. And, of course, I only got, you always call, like when I got 30 seconds left in the show. So.
That's okay. I just wanted to thank you and Desi for all the hard work you've been doing and taking over the Molloy Show when needed. Tom DeLay couldn't have happened to a better guy. And I was in Korea in 68 and 69, Second Korean War. And this looks real serious over there, Brad. Looks real serious.
It sure does.
I'm hoping that nothing comes of that, but we're gonna have an awful lot of countries piling on. I hope.
And
soon.
Yeah, I know. And by the way, thank you for your service, not only over there in Vietnam, but also in Korea during Vietnam. Yeah. But also for your work as an election integrity advocate for so many years out here in California. You are one of my great heroes, that's for sure, Tom. But I'll tell you what, we've got a real situation. If Korea blows up. And I can't believe nobody, you know, has been thinking about this. We are already in two wars, overt wars, and three or four covert wars. If that thing blows up in Korea, do we even have the manpower, the money, the resources to deal with it? It's a real scary situation, isn't it?
We'd have to pull out of the wars that we started and go into a war that really needs us.
Oh, so many wars, so little time. Thanks, Tom, for your call, brother. Have a good Thanksgiving weekend, my friend.
Take care, buddy. Bye-bye now.
All right. Yeah, you know, it's like, oh, we could just have wars. This really did turn into War Friday, National Security Friday. We can have wars, 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 just plenty of wars everywhere. You know, when do we say enough? Enough! Enough! All right, Mike is back Monday. Till we meet again, I'll see you at bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman. Keep it lit, America.